Chapter 12. Nothing lasts forever.
We need to move, I snarled.
Move? What do...
Dior yelped as I began dragging her down the slope, away from the foul blood she'd butchered.
We need to move now.
Gabe, I killed it. Why are you bleating like a sheep on the rag?
But I paid her no mind, kicking in the door to the Fisher hovel with a bang.
Where? Up now, all of you.
Selene snaked upright, Lachlan springing to his feet, hand to his borrowed blade. The children were a mixed bag, some crying out in alarm, others pawing at the sleep in their eyes. But I saw that Isla had returned after her little outburst, and the Ocean lass took one look at my face and started dragging the younger ones to their feet. Confused, but apparently still a pragmatist, Phoebe was already snatching up armfuls of possessions.
Gabe! Lachlan called. All right?
No,
I snapped, hefting tackle and knapsack. Move your asses, soldiers!
Gabe, what the hell has got into you?
Dior demanded from the doorway.
They saw us. They saw you.
They? Who the fucking hell is they?
What news, Gabriel?
Selene demanded. But I paid my sister no mind, grabbing our gear and hustling our young charges back out into the screaming wind. Our Susius were asleep, pony snorting in disgust as I threw her saddle atop her back and turned to Dior with hand outstretched.
Get up here, now!
The girl complied, frustration rising as she climbed atop her mare and snapped.
It was one wretched Gabriel, and I killed it, one shambling bag of mindless...
Not mindless, I spat.
Dead that far rotted can't think for themselves, let alone speak. Something else was in its head, Dior. She paused at that, swallowed hard.
Speaking for it.
Vas, Selene hissed, searching the dark around us. I nodded. Iron hearts can bend the minds of the wretched, direct them with a thought on the battlefield. But their anciens aren't limited to commanding the lesser dead. They can ride them, Dior. Mind in mind. As simple as you ride that damned mare.
Phoebe scowled. Why would they...
Scouts, I replied.
Vos don't step blind into danger when they can send others to spot it for them. There's none more terrified of dying than those who live forever.
Aye,
Lachlan murmured, cold eyes on Dior.
Especially if one of us has got the ashes of Fabian's bonny boy on their boots already.
Dior met my eyes, fear finally overcoming anger.
Is it him?
I've no fucking intention of finding out, but we need to move. They're close. Phoebe frowned.
Close? If these Vos can ride rottens across the Empire...
Not the Empire, flesh witch,
Selene said. Even the strongest Ironheart can only ride a puppet 40, perhaps 50 miles.
40 miles,
Isla breathed, glancing over her shoulder.
Oh, God.
Lachlan stepped to my side, a quarrel forgot, murmuring so the children wouldn't hear.
We could head back to Avalyn, defend there.
The walls are intact, at least.
There's still the Divok affair, and there's no we here, Lucky.
My old prentice met my eyes, his own narrowing to knife cuts.
You don't mean...
That's exactly what I mean. You're taking these children with you to Saint-Michon.
You're out of your mind, Gabe. I'm not a band.
Whatever's on our tails will be coming hard, brother. We've not horses enough for the little ones, and they sure as hell can't make the trek alone. Leave us to it.
There could be a fucking army coming for all you know. You'll need my...
Dead armies travel on foot, Lucky. If anything catches us, it'll be high bloods on thralled horses. I mustered a smile for my old friend's benefit.
This isn't my first grand ball, brother. I taught you all the steps. Trust me.
What's the worst that could happen?
They ignore you completely and just ride after us.
All right, what's the second worst that could happen?
They butcher ye like a Christmas hog and ride us down anyway.
I scratched my chin. That's probably worse than the first thing.
This is no bloody jest, Gabe.
I took his arm, leading him out of earshot, gesturing at our little band.
Look at them, Lucky. They won't last a heartbeat against a pack of hungry Ironhearts. But you can run for safety while I lead the dead away. The Voss are after us, not a passel of children.
Aye. His gaze flickered to Dior back to me. And why might that be?
Fuck's sakes. Why doesn't matter. What matters is they've a better chance breaking for Saint-Michon with you.
God's truth, I wish it otherwise.
You know damn well there's no one under heaven I'd rather have with me in a scrap.
Here I glanced to Selene, to Phoebe, lowering my voice further.
But you're the only one here I trust to lead these children to safety.
Lachlan clenched his jaw, gazing around the riverbank at the now terrified children. I searched his eyes then, offered my hand, the same hand that had dragged him up from the abyss I'd found him in all those years ago.
Have faith in me now, Lachlan, as you did back then.
My old prentice breathed a heavy sigh. He glanced once more to Dior, sharp green eyes burning with question, suspicion, uncertainty. But reluctantly, he nodded.
All right, for ye, brother.
And as I sighed with relief, he finally shook my hand.
Bravo, Silver Saint.
Gabriel glanced up as the historian spoke, his brow darkening. The scratching of Jean-Francois's pen had momentarily ceased, the vampire offering a polite smatter of applause.
For what, exactly?
The historian raised his hand as if to placate a guest for insult not yet given.
Understand, I have no desire to offend.
Oh, heaven forbid.
But even you must admit that you are hardly the subtlest of protagonists, de Lyon. Yet every now and then you wield a deftness of touch even the Elon might envy.
The fuck are you on about?
Jean-Francois lowered his voice, doing a passable impression of Gabriel's.
There's no one under heaven I'd rather have with me in a scrap. But you're the only one here I trust to lead these children to safety.
The vampire scoffed. Ruby lips curled.
A performance worthy of the Théâtre d'Or in Augustin. It was not that you trusted your old apprentice to protect those children from peril. You simply didn't trust him around Dior. And in order to untangle your silver cub's eager little paws from your pretty hair, you lied right to his face. A man you called brother. A man who still thought of you as a hero, despite it all.
The last Silver Saint crossed his legs, fingertips drumming on his boot.
Better to be a bastard than a fool.
Jean-Francois smiled.
You are not a bastard, de Lyon. You are a cunt.
Well, you are what you eat, vampire.
Charming.
My wife certainly thought so.
The vampire chuckled and dipped his quill, turning to a fresh page.
Led by the older children, Gabriel continued. The little ones began trudging upriver, silent and sad, but clearly grateful to be gone.
Chin Fuzz shook my hand as he departed. Isla nodded to me and mumbled apology. Others gifted Dior sad smiles or solemn bows. Little Mila hugged my leg tight, lifting her doll's hand to wave at Phoebe.
Bye, Kit Kat.
Au revoir, Mademoiselle Mila, I said, kissing her brow. Look after Lachlan for me, eh? The aforementioned lifted the girl up onto Nugget's back, storm clouds above his head. I knew sending him away was wisdom, but still, this parting was a wound, worsened by the knowledge of what awaited him at Saint-Michon. Au revoir, Lucky, I said, embracing him tight. Walk safe in the light.
And ye?
He patted my back, clearing his throat as he broke our embrace.
Gabe, what I said before about Astrid, she's a fine woman. It was wrong.
No harm, brother. Water beneath the bridge for friends like you and I. He smiled weakly, looking north.
Any message for Greyhand or the others? My stomach dropped at that, the wind blowing a different kind of cold. Lucky, when you get back to the monastery... He raised a brow as my voice faded.
Aye.
I looked to Dior, to my blade. Again, I felt that urge to confess all I'd done, to wash some of that blood from my hands. But I knew, sure and true, what would come of it. Raise a glass for me with the brothers, eh? He smiled, slapped my shoulder fondly.
Aye, there's still plenty of us who speak of you fondly, despite all that happened. The black lion will always bleed silver.
Turning to Dior, my prentice drew the long blade from his belt.
Told ye I'd return it in one piece, lass. My thanks for its keeping.
The girl looked from the gleaming silver steel to the frightened children around us, back to the silver saint's eyes.
You hold on to it, Freya. Keep them safe with it.
Lachlan's gaze was clouded as he looked the young girl over, toe to crown. But with a smile that might make angels swoon, he finally sheathed her blade.
I vow it.
The group departed, threading back upriver into the rising dark. I was heavy with guilt, raising my hand to Lachlan in farewell. I'd no knowing what peril they'd meet on their frozen road, but, as I'd said, those children had a better chance with him than with us. The feeble dawn was approaching, and with it, the monsters who pursued Dior. Princes of forever or a forever king, I knew not. But I owed them vengeance either way. I could see them now, in my mind's eye, gathered like vultures outside my home the night their dread father came knocking. Kestrel, Morgan, Alba, Elaine, Etienne, Danton. Devils all, cloaked in menace and malice, come to witness the Forever King's vengeance for the murder of their youngest sister, Lore. They'd stood and watched while he did it. They'd laughed as my angels died. And I'd sworn I'd see every one of them dead for it. But I focused on the ink across my fingers, scribed by the woman I loved in honor of the beauty we'd created. And her name was the prayer I whispered to drown out the roar for revenge in my head.
Patience.
I climbed aboard Bear, Phoebe slipping up onto Pony behind Dior, Selene's eyes fixed on me. Lacing my collar about my face, I spoke.
Let's be off. Sunset waits for no saint, and the dead run quick.
What direction is the question?
Phoebe said. Dior breathed deep, gaze roaming from Selene to Phoebe to me. I could see the choices before her, all the paths she might take. Southward to the war-torn wastes of Oswey, and the protection Phoebe promised in the highlands. Northwest to Lyon, a fortress that offered safety but none of the answers she needed. Or west toward Master Genoa, and whatever truth and peril that trusting my sister would bring. To risk her life, or risk the world. For a girl like Dior Lachance, a choice like that was no choice at all. She pulled her scarf up over her face, looked me in the eye, and spoke the word that would doom us all.
West.
The last silver saint fell silent, eyes on the goblet in his tattooed fingers. He studied the ink below his knuckles, the name of the daughter long gone. Jean-Francois was sketching in his book, finishing his portrait of Gabriel while his prisoner collected his thoughts. But eventually the vampire frowned in the creeping silence.
De Lyon?
It's a hell of a thing, the silver saint murmured. Being a father, you want to shield your children from the worst of the world, even though you know that'll leave them unprepared for what they'll find. But the sooner you let them see the horror of it all...
Oui?
The silver saint stared into the bottom of his goblet, his voice soft.
Do you remember your father, Coldblood?
I beg your pardon?
Your father? You didn't spring from your mama's purse full-formed by magic.
Jean-Francois glanced up,
annoyance darkening his eyes. That he felt annoyance, that he felt anything where his father was concerned, irked the vampire all the more. The half-dozen rebukes rose swift to his tongue before he remembered his mother's counsel. He feels a kinship with thee, sweet Marquis. One a clever wolf might turn to advantage.
I remember him, the historian replied, though not with much fondness.
You do strike me as something of a mama's boy, vampire.
If ever you have the fortune to meet my dark mother, de Lion, you will be left with absolutely no misapprehensions as to why.
Gabriel smiled, crossing one long leg over the other. Who was papa then? Some fat baron or sodden lord? You've the look of one from moneyed stock.
Look closer then, Jean-Francois replied, setting aside his quill. My papa was a farmer from the squalid outskirts of Saint-Maximil. Not a brass royale to his name.
Bullshit! You've never done an honest day's work in your life.
I admit that I proved somewhat impervious to the rustic charm of the provinces at an early age, the Marquis smiled. Papa was enthusiastic with his remonstrations.
He beat you?
Some would say beat, some tortured. It is a complicated thing, is it not? The struggle between fathers and sons.
Try fathers and daughters, Gabriel scoffed.
From what you have told me of your life, de Leon, I would rather not.
The smile died swift in the Silver Saint's eyes, faded slower from his lips. Sitting straighter, he downed the last of his wine, scowling as if it tasted bitter. The room seemed suddenly chill, that ghost-white moth flitting about the chemical globe again, and Gabriel snatched it up in his hand, swift as a knife in the dark. The Marquis cursed himself. He knew he must tread softer here.
Apologies, Gabriel, that was a poor jest.
The Silver Saint opened the cage of his fingers, and the moth fluttered free again. Truth is the sharpest knife, he replied. The moth returned to its futile courses, beating frail wings in vain upon the globe's false starlight. Jean-Francois looked toward the cell door. Meline? The lock clunked. The door swung aside, and there his majordomo stood, ever dutiful. Clad in her long black gown, red curls cascading over pale shoulders, Meline dropped into a deep curtsy, her emerald eyes downturned.
Your desire, master?
More wine for our guest, dove.
Your will be done.
She risked a glance upward, ruby lips parted.
And for you?
The vampire's mouth quirked in a dark smile.
Later, my darling.
Meline curtsied again, swept from the room. The vampire and his prisoner were left alone once more, air-hanging chill, darkened by the shadow of an empty lighthouse and the murmurings of still-remembered ghosts.
I ran away.
The last Silver Saint looked up from his goblet. What?
From Papa. I ran away.
Jean-Francois studied his long fingernails, scratching at an imaginary speck.
I was young, foolish. I thought to find apprenticeship with an artiste of repute. And so I set out for the fabled streets of Augustin, there to seek my fortune.
Did you find it?
She found me, Gabriel.
A knock rang on the cell door.
Come, love,
Jean-Francois called. His majordomo slipped back into the room with a fresh bottle. Jean-Francois watched Gabriel watching Meline as she leaned forward to fill his goblet. The Silver Saint's storm-grey eyes roamed the treasures swelling abundant above her corset, the curve of her collarbone and the artery thudding at her throat. Jean-Francois could tell his prisoner was inflamed at the sight. Shifting in his chair now, pulse thumping ever harder, the vampire's eyes drifted from these straining buttons at the Silver Saint's crotch to those strong, calloused hands, the memory of them around his neck slipping unbidden into his mind.
Scream for me.
Will there be anything else, Master? His Mojodomo asked.
Not yet, love, he smiled. Not yet.
Meline curtsied, departing in silence. Gabriel downed his glass, met the Marquis's eyes over the goblet's edge, heartbeat thick in the air with whispers of what might be.
Why did you run?
The vampire blinked.
I beg pardon?
Why did you run away from your father, Chastain?
I think not, de Leon.
Jean-Francois smiled, patting the tome in his lap.
My empress already knows my story, after all. Call it the will of the Almighty, or the vagaries of cruel chance. The fate of this empire undying rested not upon the shoulders of a humble farmer's son, but a baron's bastard from the spires of Saint-Michon, and a whore's daughter from the gutters of La Chamée.
And a dreamer from the highland snows.
Gabriel drummed his fingers on his leathers, leaned back in his chair.
A princess, never meant for a throne, a conspiracy of holy fools. And a king, who wanted an empire that lasted forever.
Gabriel smiled.
Except nothing lasts forever.
Your tattered company made it safe to the Nightstone, then? Dusk Dancer and Vampire, Fallen Chevalier and Holy Grail.
Oh, we made it to our destination. But safe. Even without the Voss dogging our heels, we were entering the world of the Asani now, Vampire. The lies at the heart of it all. The Avsenkt heresy. The Red Crusades. The Wars of the Blood.
The last Silver Saint shook his head.
None of us would ever be safe again.